WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly Republicans are trying a new tactic to keep the Wisconsin Supreme Court from drawing the state's legislative maps for next year. Speaker Robin Voss says it would also bring a stop to talk about impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Nate Wegehout has details.
The bills will be taken up by lawmakers this Thursday. Voss says the maps would be crafted by the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau and be in effect for the 2024 election cycle. He said partisans have had control of the maps for too long.
When Democrats had the ability to adopt it, they didn't do it. When Republicans had the ability to adopt it in the United Government, we didn't do it. We can both admit that maybe we were wrong, and now we have to stand up and say this is a better process going forward.
Governor Tony Evers immediately blasted the plan because the legislature would still be the ones to ultimately approve the maps. He called the idea a last-ditch effort by Republicans to retain control. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Wisconsin Assembly is sending a $3 billion income tax cut to the state Senate. The bill would cut taxes for single filers making up to $304,000 a year and couples making $405,000. It also eliminates taxes on most retirement income. Republican David Steffens says the cuts would return the state's budget surplus to the middle class.
The people of Wisconsin are hurting, and there are a few options that are available to us as a legislature to address this in a very broad way. And so we plan on returning the surplus back to the people.
Governor Evers promises to veto the tax cuts. Democrat Greta Neubauer says the third tax bracket is too large and too many cuts would go to people who don't need them.
This tax cut proposal from Republicans is once again too broad. It goes up to an income level of people who are not struggling in Wisconsin. And we need to make sure that we are supporting the people who really need it.
That's Neubauer on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. The bill passed the assembly yesterday along party lines. This is National Suicide Prevention Week. Dr. Lisa Pion Berlin runs a suicide hotline. She says it's crucial to take people seriously if they mention suicidal thoughts.
It is very important if anybody mentions any thoughts they have or a plan or any concerns they have about suicide that you take them seriously. Don't brush them off.
Statistics show that 20% of Americans suffer from some kind of serious mental health condition. Young people of color in rural areas are the fastest category of people committing suicide. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Assembly has passed a nearly $3 billion income tax cut proposal, with all Assembly Republicans voting in favor and all Assembly Democrats voting against. Governor Tony Evers has already vowed to veto the bill when it makes its way to his desk, calling it irresponsible and saying it jeopardizes Wisconsin's financial stability. The bill would drop taxes from 5.3% to 4.4% for individual income between $27,000 and $304,000, and for married couples between $18,000 and $405,000. The Wisconsin State Assembly approved a constitutional amendment yesterday, which would require the legislature to sign off on allocating federal money. Democratic Assembly members say the move could delay responses to emergencies, and language in the bill is dangerously ambiguous. If passed by the state Senate as well, the proposal would be put to a referendum for Wisconsin voters to approve. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers shut out the Marlins. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 12-0 win last night over the Miami Marlins at AmFam Field, a 3-run rally in the third, a 5-run rally in the sixth. Then on the mound was Milwaukee's Brandon Woodruff, who pitched a complete game shutout, throwing strikes on the first pitch to 26 consecutive batters.
Just tried to make quality pitches early and try to get quick outs, and thankfully defense played a heck of a game behind me and allowed me to get deep in the game.
Woodruff went over his pitch count, but Craig Counsell let him finish finish after Sunday's 11-inning no-hitter was wasted.
Look, he threw the ball great, and he deserved the shot to do it for sure. You know, that's just a big-time performance. We've had two incredible performances by our guys the last 2 days, and, you know, makes you really appreciate what they've accomplished and what they do for your team.
Game two of the four-game series tonight in Milwaukee. College football, number 19th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers have been dropped out of the top 25 after losing to Washington State head coach Luke Fickell.
You got to move on. You got to put it past you. But you got to remember the feeling.
The Badgers host the Georgia Southern Eagles Saturday in Madison. NFL, a wild finish on Monday Night Football. A 65-yard punt return for a touchdown by the Jets in overtime to beat the Bills 22-16, but a devastating loss. Aaron Rodgers sacked on the turf. The opening drive twists his ankle. After the game, Jets head coach Robert Saleh says it's likely a season-ending torn Achilles tendon.
Concerned with his Achilles. MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
In Green Bay, Kenny Clark celebrates receiving the game ball after the Packers win over the Bears. In the stands was Kenny's father, finally released from prison after a controversial trial nearly 20 years ago.
You know, I'm just blessed, man. I've been through a lot, you know, in my life. Like I said, it was a special moment, and it was special to share that with him.
As Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning. It is the 12th day of September. Hope you're having a good day so far. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. We have a lot going on today. Going to try to cover several topics in the news. Also give you a little bit of weather and sports. And in fact, let's get to the weather right now. La Crosse today, partly sunny, chance of rain, high near 70 degrees. In Eau Claire today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 64. Richland Center, partly sunny, and a chance of rain, high around 72 degrees. Amory, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 60. And up in Hayward, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain till about 1 p.m. and a high around 58 degrees. Well, the thing that everybody is talking about today in sports, did you get to see Aaron Rodgers last night in his big debut with the New York Jets? Well, you didn't have much of a chance to see it. It all happened so fast. Yep, Aaron Rodgers may be out for the season after going down only four plays into the Jets game last night. Evidently, they're going to do an MRI today to find out more, but it does not look good. Also in sports, Brandon Woodruff from the Brewers threw his first ever complete game shutout as the Brewers beat the Marlins 12-0 last night. The Cubs also won last night, so Milwaukee remains three games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. Game two of that four-game series against Miami is tonight in Milwaukee. And as far as the headlines today, you may have heard about this. A new lawsuit was filed yesterday seeking to block Republicans from launching an impeachment of Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Also, Republicans who control the Wisconsin legislature took a step yesterday toward firing the state's top election official. And if you're in the La Crosse area, you should know that construction is now underway on the Wisconsin State Route 162 bridge that crosses Dutch Creek in La Crosse County. And that bridge is scheduled to reopen by late November. So the big story, at least here in our state, is about this lawsuit that was filed yesterday. Let me give you a little bit of information about that.
You know that the Republicans are saying that Janet Protasiewicz has to recuse herself from decisions concerning the gerrymandered maps in our state. And if she doesn't do so, then, and also about abortion issues, but if she doesn't do so, then she has to be impeached, right? Well, there's a new lawsuit filed yesterday. I have a story here from the La Crosse Tribune with a headline that says, lawsuit asks Wisconsin Supreme Court to block impeachment before assembly acts. This piece was posted 2 hours ago by Alexander Schur at the La Crosse Tribune, lacrossetribune.com. It says here that the Wisconsin Supreme Court should prohibit the legislature from impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz because removing her from office would invalidate the constitutional rights of the Wisconsinites who voted for her. A lawsuit filed Monday states, and keep in mind there were more than a million votes cast for Justice Protasiewicz. The lawsuit, which three Protasiewicz voters filed directly with the Supreme Court, also states the assembly doesn't have the authority under the state constitution to impeach the liberal justice. The lawsuit follows Republican legislators' threats to impeach Protasiewicz over her possibly presiding over two redistricting lawsuits. Despite calling the current legislative maps rigged, the Supreme Court hasn't accepted the cases yet, nor has Protasiewicz decided whether she'll recuse herself from the lawsuits. Republicans say Protasiewicz must recuse herself from the cases challenging the current maps as unconstitutional because she prejudged them. Democrats say her comments weren't illegal and that impeaching her would nullify the election. And here's a quote. This is from Tim Burns. It says here, the votes of over 1 million Wisconsinites are about to be assigned to the dustbin of history by an un-American, anti-democratic power play by the Wisconsin State Legislature that is designed to and will simultaneously destroy judicial independence and the right of voters to effectuate political change in Wisconsin. That is the language in the lawsuit written by Tim Burns, liberal, former Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. The lawsuit seeks an emergency order to prevent any impeachment proceedings against Protasiewicz. It argues, quote, the public will be irreparably harmed unless the court acts. It also seeks a permanent order preventing the assembly, preventing the assembly from impeaching Protasiewicz over statements she made during her campaign. The lawsuit alleges assembly lawmakers would be acting outside of the powers the Constitution granted them if they impeached her. And the lawsuit states, to act outside of a grant of power is to usurp the power of the people who granted the legislature such power. It is for this reason that the court must act to protect these precious rights. End quote. The assembly can impeach an official with a majority vote based on specific reasons, corrupt conduct in office, or for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor, according to a Wisconsin Legislative Council memo. But Protasiewicz's statements don't fall into those categories, the lawsuit states. Here's another excerpt from the lawsuit. It says, the conduct of Justice Protasiewicz cannot be in any sense historically deemed as corrupt. Justices routinely do not recuse themselves from issues upon which they have expressed clear points of view or in the context of previous donors to their campaigns appearing before them as litigants. And spokespeople for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The lawsuit states that impeaching Protasiewicz would encourage the assembly to impeach other civil officers and take away voters' rights to select Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. And here is another quote from the lawsuit. It says, this harm would grow exponentially, irrevocably fracturing our government's constitutional framework, the balance of power, and our citizens' right to vote. The harm to our state and our way of life cannot be overstated. And that's a quote from the lawsuit filed yesterday to try to prevent Republicans from impeaching Justice Protasiewicz, or they say for comments she made while she was running for office. But I think most people kind of see through that and see the fact that the reason they want to impeach her is so they don't lose cases, right? They want to maintain power in our state. Got 15 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Another story I want to get to is concerning terrorists. Okay. You may have heard that terrorists have been trying to hit up these substations, electrical substations around our country. Do you know that there have already, well, I should say in the first 3 months of this year, there were 60 attempts at trying to cause widespread blackouts, mass blackouts, 60 attempts at different locations around the country by terrorists and terrorist groups. That's something we're going to explore after we take a quick break. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Stick around. This is a short break, so you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at amoryfallfestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with highs around 64. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 44. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 78. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. High temperatures reach up to 71. 68. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 40.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Born on this date in 1952, Neil Peart.
Invisible airwaves crackle with life, light and tender, bristle with the energy.
Raymond Quartz. Neil Peart, one of the great drummers of all time, sadly now gone for, what, the past 3 years or so. I think he checked out in 2020. But, man, one of the great drummers, I think, if you ask just about any drummer who they were influenced by, he will be on the list. Born on this date in 1952. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning. We've got 47 degrees in La Crosse right now and 49 degrees in Richland Center. Spirit of Radio, name of that song. In case you don't know, obviously, tip of the hat to the radio world, and we appreciate that. Hey, just before the break, I was telling you that I want to get to a story about what's going on with terrorists attacking our electrical grid. And this is going on around the country. In the first 3 months of this year, there were 60 attacks on electrical substations or different parts of the electric grid. And last year, in 2022, there were 164 attacks during the entire year. So you can tell in just 3 months, we have 60. So that pace is picking up. And this is something that's obviously important. What would happen if we had a mass blackout? I have a story here from Politico that says extremists keep trying to trigger mass blackouts, and that's not even the scariest part. And the subheadline says, extremist groups are among those targeting the electricity network, exposing the reporting gaps between the state and federal agencies that oversee its security. And this is a serious issue because it sounds like, based on this article that was posted on the 10th, day before yesterday, it sounds like there is a communication gap between local authorities, federal authorities. I'll give you just a little bit of this before we have to head to our next break. It says Maryland's top utility regulator was watching the news one February morning when a headline blindsided him. Two suspects with neo-Nazi ties had been charged with plotting to take down Baltimore's power grid. Jason Stanek, the then chair of the state's Public Service Commission, said Maryland regulators were caught flat-footed, not hearing a word from law enforcement before the news broke or in the months afterward. Federal prosecutors have alleged the defendants were driven by racially motivated hatred. Okay, so it's a racial issue. That's why they went for Baltimore. They wanted to try to cut power to hundreds of thousands of people in the state's largest city, which has a predominantly black population. The FBI declined to comment on its communications with the Maryland Commission, but Stanek's experience is not uncommon. And we'll get to a little bit more of this story and an explanation after we take bottom of the hour break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm M. Wynn. Captured in Pennsylvania, the convicted killer who escaped from a Chester County prison nearly 2 weeks ago. State police say he's in custody now and will have more details later this morning. Danilo Cavalcante repeatedly evaded capture, slipping through police lines over the last few days. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Korean leader Kim Jong-un shaking hands in Russia. The two sat down for talks, which U.S. officials say could lead to a deal by which Pyongyang supplies weapons and ammunition for Moscow's war in Ukraine. The death toll in eastern Libya has now reached more than 5,000. Here's ABC's Ian Pannell.
The waters surging through the Libyan city of Derna. Now, a quarter of Derna has been simply wiped off the map. Emergency workers have recovered more than 2,000 bodies so far, but officials fear the death toll will be far greater, with as many as 10,000 still missing and more than 40,000 displaced.
This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a WUWM report, a new project from the Wisconsin Medical Society, Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin Nurses Association is seeking to address racial disparities in healthcare for pregnant women. Nationwide data shows black women are three times more likely to die in childbirth and post-pregnancy and face much higher rates of postpartum depression. Medical professionals have cited inconsistencies in access to quality healthcare as a main cause and are seeking to address those issues through a pilot program and grant funding. According to the Wisconsin Law Journal, a lawsuit is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to block the potential impeachment proceedings of newly elected Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, arguing that removing her from office would invalidate the constitutional rights of the Wisconsinites that voted for her. The lawsuit was filed directly with the Supreme Court on Monday, as Wisconsin Republican lawmakers float the potential of impeaching Justice Protasiewicz for comments made regarding the state's electoral districts during her campaign. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a
week.
Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, they tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back,
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back,
welcome back. We always could spot a friend. Welcome back.
Oh,
and
yes.
I smile when I think
34 right now.
Been.
Welcome back, Mr. Kata. Hey, good morning. It's Stu Daniels on the Stu Daniels Show. Checking in about a half hour late, but what can you do? Sometimes technology takes over your life and you are just trying to make it work. So thank you for sticking around if you did so. I'd like to welcome you into the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning. It is the 13th day of September, almost halfway through the month, and it's going to be a sunny but cool day in most areas of western Wisconsin. Today in La Crosse, cloudy skies in the morning and sunny skies in the afternoon. Looking for a high around 67 degrees. In Eau Claire today, sunshine with a high around 66. Richland Center, cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, and a high around 68 degrees. Amory, mostly sunny with a high around 64. And up in Hayward today, sunshine with a high around 62. Hey, in sports, the Brewers beat the Marlins last night 3-1. And the Cubs lost, so Milwaukee is now four games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. Game three of that four-game series against the Marlins is tonight in Milwaukee. Let me give you some headlines. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is now backing off threats of impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Robin Voss is also changing his tune on the legislative maps, now saying he wants an independent body to redraw the maps. Republican official Reince Priebus is crediting Democrats with building the case for Milwaukee to host the Republican presidential convention next summer. And in breaking news, as you may have heard, the escaped convict in Chester County, Pennsylvania, was just apprehended. So people in that area can relax and rest a little more easy now that that gentleman has been caught. Cavalcante, right? Danilo Cavalcante, I believe, is his name. On the loose for about 2 weeks before they were able to capture him just minutes ago. So where are we going to start in the news today? Man, after that technological issue, that computer problem that we were having, I want to start with something light. Okay, so maybe we'll discuss Aaron Rodgers for a few minutes. You know what happened on Monday night. He hurt his Achilles tendon, blew out the thing. So the question now is, will Aaron Rodgers retire? Jets quarterback must confront his football mortality after the injury. That's according to Jarrett Bell of the USA Today network of newspapers. And I'm going to give you a little bit of this story because it's something that he has to consider, and it's something that we should all consider. It may be the end of an incredible NFL career. And this story from USA Today starts out by saying, this can't be the way that Aaron Rodgers goes out, can it? As the four-time NFL MVP processes the severity of his ruptured Achilles tendon and the surgery, followed by extensive rehab, Rodgers might also be forced to stare his football mortality in the face. With a decision on whether to retire or return for a final act. Remember, Rodgers spent 4 days during the offseason on a darkness retreat, isolated without light in a 300-square-foot semi-underground cabin in Oregon to contemplate his football future and other elements of life. He chose to come back for a 19th NFL season, which led to his trade to the New York Jets from the Green Bay Packers and the most hyped fresh start in the NFL in years. Now he's done for the season after just 4 snaps of the football. Logic suggests that after mulling retirement after last season, he could revisit that idea. And maybe there's another retreat coming. Then again, perhaps Rodgers, now 39 years old, has already made up his mind, and there's no chance that he will quit and have the last image of him in an NFL uniform be him getting carted off to the locker room. What do you think? Is there a chance Rodgers is going to continue? Or do you think he's going to hang up the cleats? It says here, Rodgers is great for many reasons, including the cannon arm, high football IQ, magnetic leadership, and way up on the list, competitiveness. Guys like the Sassy Rogers are wired to go out on their own terms. In parentheses, it says, see Tom Brady, who won a Super Bowl with the Bucks, then over the next 2 years chased another ring, end of parentheses, or exhaust every ounce of energy trying. Besides, Rogers was the toast of the Big Apple. He seemed to be having such a blast. There was Broadway. There was courtside at the Knicks game, VIP treatment at concerts. The city embraced Aaron Rodgers, and undoubtedly the New York City football / celebrity community would still shower him with love. Inside the Jets headquarters, many insiders contend Rodgers had won over the place while injecting the hope and energy that the legends so often bring. No, there is nothing left to prove, at least not to anyone else. Rodgers has produced Hall of Fame credentials, including 475 career touchdown passes and more than 59,000 passing yards. So a bust in Canton is a lock. He has stood the test of time. When Rodgers arrived in the NFL in 2005, George W. Bush was president, and the quarterback was left hanging in the green room during the NFL draft on the very day that YouTube uploaded its first video. He's won the biggest prize with a Super Bowl triumph, in parentheses, although he lost three times with the Packers as the number one seed in the playoffs. And it goes on and says, only Peyton Manning has won more NFL MVP awards. Yet, until he shares his sentiments on the matter, the space to decide is his. Again, say the cheeseheads. Since Rodgers joined the Jets, he has maintained it was a multi-year commitment. Time will tell whether the sudden emergency changes that. But many of the pieces that are in place now for his understudy, Zach Wilson, to play with will still be in place next year. So it would seem natural that the competitor in Rodgers, whose Achilles injury follows the calf injury he nursed this summer, would desire to align himself with a championship-caliber defense, his pal and offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, and a bevy of skill position weapons. Hello, Garrett Wilson, to try it again. In another sense, it just doesn't seem right that the highlight of Rodgers' debut was the act of running onto the field carrying an American flag as the crowd at MetLife Stadium roared. That was an awesome visual for sure, but a few minutes later, the image of Rodgers trying to walk and then taking a seat on the turf superseded his grand entrance. You couldn't blame Rodgers either if he hangs it up. According to medical experts, the rehab following surgery for a torn Achilles is much more grueling for a longer period of time than for a torn ACL. Some estimate that the rehab timeline ranges from 6 months to 12 months. And with that, it's likely that he would lose a measure of his mobility. Rodgers, having thrived for so long, has surely had his share of rehab periods. He's had a fractured clavicle twice, 2013 and 2017, a fractured foot in 2006, fractured pinky toe in 2021, and a sprained MCL in 2018. Also concussions and calf strains, but apparently nothing like this one. Whether Rodgers, who will be 40 in December, wants to go through this particular rehab is obviously part of the equation. So, too, may be motivation for a comeback that proves he won't go out like that. So what would happen if he does come back? And what would happen if he gets injured again shortly after coming back? Man, it's hard to say. What's your opinion on that? By the way, if you do have an opinion, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And the next thing that I want to get to here is a little bit more political oriented than the Aaron Rodgers story. Have you heard about Robin Voss's change in a direction on a couple of different fronts? I mentioned when I was going over the headlines that he's now backing off of those threats of impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz. And also he's changing his tune on the legislative maps. Some of the most gerrymandered maps in the United States. And now he's saying he wants an independent body to redraw the maps. I'll give you a little bit of the story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel before we go to our break. It says here that Robin Voss is backing off of turning over drawing of election maps to nonpartisan agency in a bid to bypass lawsuits. And it says here, according to this story, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is backing off of threats of impeaching the newest Wisconsin Supreme Court justice and is instead deploying a new maneuver to avoid having the liberal-controlled court weigh in on the state's electoral maps by writing new ones. But Democratic Governor Tony Evers immediately killed the idea, saying Republicans were making a last-ditch effort to retain legislative control by having someone legislature picked and legislature approved draw Wisconsin's maps after previously opposing such plans for years. Voss and Assembly Republicans announced yesterday, they would pursue legislation this week that seeks to use an Iowa-style nonpartisan redistricting model that would allow the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau to write new legislative maps instead of partisans. That move is aimed at bypassing lawsuits before the state Supreme Court that seek to rewrite the current Republican favorable maps that were adopted in 2021. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. It doesn't surprise me that Robin Voss is changing his tune now. And is there a chance that this this legislative group, this nonpartisan legislative reference bureau could write the new maps? Governor says no. Hey, got to take a break. It's going to be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with highs around 64. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 44. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 78. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. High temperatures reach up to 71. 68, sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Show on this Wednesday morning. Got 53 degrees in La Crosse and 52 degrees in Richland Center. And I know I just mentioned that Robin Voss wants to back off of impeaching Janet Protasiewicz. At least that's what the sentiment is right now. But you never know what he may do. And I just came across a story in The Guardian that looks at Wisconsin and warns the rest of America. This is an opinion piece by Andrew Gawthorpe, and the headline says, "What Republicans are doing to Wisconsin is a warning sign to all Americans." It says here, "The state is so gerrymandered that Republicans can lose the popular vote and win supermajorities. Now they want to impeach a liberal justice before she's ruled on a single case." And this piece was posted just this morning, less than 2 hours ago. It says, "If you need a reminder that the Republican Party's problem with democracy extends beyond the antics of Donald Trump, look no further than Wisconsin. A battle is underway there, which began before the January 6th insurrection was even a twinkle in Trump's eye, and which will do much to determine the future of democracy in America, whether Trump ultimately answers for his crimes or not. It's no exaggeration to say that Wisconsin and its state capital, Madison, are now the front line of the battle to save American democracy. In 2011, Republicans gerrymandered Wisconsin's state legislature so badly that the party can win supermajorities despite losing the popular vote, as it did in 2018. Voters have fought back And earlier this year, they elected Janet Protasiewicz to the state Supreme Court, ushering in a new liberal majority which looked poised to finally overturn the gerrymander and bring Democratic regime change to Madison. But Wisconsin Republicans have no intention of seeing their undeserved power slip away. They're proposing to impeach Protasiewicz on spurious charges before she has ruled on a single case, paralyzing the court and leaving the gerrymander intact. When Trump argued that he was the real winner of the election because the votes of people living in Democratic-leaning urban areas were somehow fraudulent and should not count, he was repeating arguments that Wisconsin Republicans had already honed. The speaker, it says here, the speaker of the state assembly, Robin Voss, has explained that the state's gerrymander is fair because, quote, if you took Madison and Milwaukee out of the state election formula, we, Republicans, would have a clear majority, end quote. Because Madison and Milwaukee are the parts of the state with the largest concentration of non-white voters, Voss has revealed what the Wisconsin gerrymander is really about. Race. There is a long history in the United States of skewed electoral systems being used to suppress the voices of minority voters, and Wisconsin is only the latest example. Like their predecessors in other states, Wisconsin Republicans have been remarkably frank about their intention of ensuring that minorities stay in their place. When Democratic gubernatorial candidate Tony Evers powered to victory in 2018 with massive wins in Madison and Milwaukee, the Republican legislature used a lame duck session to strip him of much of his power. Not content with that, Evers' Republican opponent in 2022, Tim Michaels, promised that if he was elected, then Republicans in Wisconsin, quote, will never lose another election, end quote. The latest target of this raw racist power politics is Wisconsin's electorate new choice for the state Supreme Court. Protasiewicz won by more than 10% on record turnout, which was spurred by widespread voter dissatisfaction with the fruits of Republican rule. In particular, voters oppose the state's harsh anti-abortion law, which makes abortion illegal unless it is necessary to save the life of the mother, with no exceptions for other medical problems or rape. A majority of Wisconsinites wanted a liberal state Supreme Court which would overturn that law, and they voted accordingly. But linking abortion rights to questions of democracy, Protasiewicz came up with a playbook that can be used across America to push back against attacks on basic constitutional rights, be they in the doctor's office or in the voting booth. That's why Republicans are so scared of her and desperate to find a way to stop her from succeeding. What do you think of that? Hey, if you have an opinion, feel free to call in. Let me know what you're thinking. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
I got something to say that might cause you pain. If I catch you talking to that boy again, I'm gonna let you down. Tell you one more time, I think it's a sin. I think I let you down. Let you down.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done. over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.